I'm going to be talking about hurricane disaster relief training for chainsaw users. As I'm sure you're probably well aware, in September of 2018, Hurricane Florence stormed its way through South Carolina and North Carolina, leaving great devastation in its wake. And for a couple of years, I've worked with OSHA on safety training problems, and they wanted to do something to help, and they called up and asked if I could do disaster relief hurricane training for construction workers. And I said, no, I don't have any contact with construction workers. They have no contact with extension. We can't do that. But I started thinking about hurricane relief training and safety, and it occurred to me buildings aren't the only thing to get tossed around in a hurricane. Plenty of trees get tossed around, too. And we'd been doing chainsaw safety training in Georgia for quite some time. That said, I was cautious about stepping into North Carolina and South Carolina. That's out of state, and I don't have the connections there. But then OSHA showed us the topics that they wanted training, and OSHA thinks of the world this way. They think of, you know, slips and falls. That's the category, not the industry. And they wanted to cover insect and animal bites. That's a huge tree worker problem. Struck by, caught in hazards. That's the number one cause of death for tree people. Electrokill and electrocution, number two cause of death. Fall prevention, what could be more relevant to the tree industry? Hand power tools, that's a chainsaw. Heavy equipment operators, they've got lifts, they've got chippers, they've got cranes. Slips, trips, and falls. Hard to imagine a work site with more potential for slips, trips, and falls. Still, I was cautious about it because I have a lot of experience working with the tree care and safety training. This is some of the projects I've worked on over the years in safety training. The first three are with landscape workers, Hispanic and English-speaking landscape workers. The last two are tree workers. OSHA always requires you to estimate how many people you're going to train and then tell them how many you trained. And you can see with the landscape workers, with each project, we get better at getting to them and they get better at getting to us and our numbers climb. If you look at the tree workers, that's not the case. The numbers stay the same. And there are a couple of really good reasons for that. OSHA classifies tree workers as hard to reach. And they are really, really hard to reach. I am serious about this hard to reach stuff. And I'll tell you why. Federal OSHA is only interested in the private sector. So they only want industry tree care workers. They don't want to train parks and recs people, city people, county people, fire departments, policemen, or homeowners. So that's a tricky group to get to. The large companies all have very, very, very strong internal safety training programs, and they don't need anything from us. There are many, many small, mid-sized, and part-time companies even, and these guys are very difficult to reach. They often have no physical location. They'll work out of their driveways or out of a couple of parking spots. They have no indoor place for classroom training, no outdoor place for outdoor training, and they also have relatively little contact with extension. They don't usually seek information from extension or receive services. So the agents will have a list of all the landscapers in their county. They don't have that list of the tree care companies, and they're volatile. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But the biggest challenge is they have no culture of safety. The workers are strong. They are very confident in their technique and abilities. They are aware that their work is dangerous, and they take great pride in it. And believe you me, accidents happen to someone else, never to them. And finally, always, they will choose work over training. So I can schedule the training. I can have 25 guys from one company signed up to come. I'll call them up the day before. They'll say we'll be there. And then when the training happens, there's four guys in the room because 10 minutes after my phone call, they got a call for work. And believe you me, after a hurricane, there is plenty of wood to cut. They are not going to be looking for safety training. But there's a difference in South Carolina and North Carolina. They have state OSHA-approved workplace safety and healthy programs, and that covers both the private and the public sector. And I knew we could get the parks and recs, city, county, police departments, fire departments out to these trainings. And I also had excellent and strong collaborators in both state. I had Dr. Lucy Bradley in North Carolina, and she's at North Carolina State University, and Mr. Corey Tanner in South Carolina. And we have a long track record of working together, and they can reach their agents and get things done. So I said, OSHA, can we do tree training? And they said yes. And then I started talking to Bradley and Tanner, and we pretty much decided that the best approach would be a train-the-trainer approach. And, of course, while we were having this conversation, Michael came roaring up through Florida and Georgia. So they said, can you put Florida and Georgia on the list? I said, I'll go for Georgia. That's enough to do. The duration of the project was just 6 months, so we had to move very quickly on it. And this is the plan that we hatched. We have a UGA saw safety team. We call it, it's the chainsaw team. And I'll tell you a little more about them. But we thought we could develop the training, and then we would gather all the resources, and we would post it on the web so that everybody could get to them. And then Dr. Bradley and Mr. Tanner would coordinate agent trainings in South Carolina and North Carolina. And then all of the trained agents would go home and do these trainings, and they would reach out to first responders, emergency workers, city and county workers, and public and private sector workers. So that was the plan. This is the UGA SAW safety team, minus me. Rolando is OSHA General Standards certified. Heather, Wade, and Josh are agents in the northern part of the state with keen interest in arboriculture. Glenn Rains is the agricultural safety specialist on the Tifton campus. And this team started working on developing a training that agents could give, so there were some pretty important considerations. We didn't want the training to be dangerous. We did not want the agents turning on a chainsaw or cutting any wood. Okay, that can be disastrous. Okay? It needed to be content that an agent would feel comfortable with, and that's an A&R agent or a horticulture agent. That's what we're talking about here. And even though some of them might be comfortable handling a chainsaw, describing technique is pretty advanced. It had to be broadly applicable and valuable to all responders, because in the first responders group, you have tree care workers who have quite a bit of experience. And you also have you heard of these homeowner crews? Churches have them. When there's a disaster, they load up a van with neighbors with chainsaws, and they drive to the emergency and start cutting wood. Those folks may know nothing about basic chainsaw safety. And so after we talked about it, we decided we would do a serious talk about personal protective equipment. That's hard hats, eye protection, ear protection, and leg protection, also known as PPE. Site inspection. When you come up to the site, where do you look for? Where's the electricity, slips, trips and falls, escape routes, etc. And then safe saw carry, so they could get the chainsaw to the site, and a safe start with 2 points of contact, not a drop start like most people do, actually. And we felt that this information could be transmitted efficiently and the agents could do it. But they needed an appropriate training kit. So we provided each agent that we were going to train with a chainsaw safety training kit. What's in here? 3 different types of hard hats so that they can discuss differences among them. 3 different types of leg protection, 2 pairs of chaps, 1 good one, 1 cheap one, so they could cut it and show people what's inside of them. A pair of chainsaw pants. Most people haven't seen those. All different kinds of ear protection, eye protection, and the important part being that we had ringers in here, things that did not meet OSHA specifications, so they could discuss them. We put everything they would need for the course up onto the website. We were able to get ISA CEUs 1 credit because it was an hour-long course. And so the agents had access to everything they need and knew who to call. And this was the training that we actually rolled out. We had 5 people. people from the UGA SAW team went to North Carolina and South Carolina. They were able to train 17 agents in North Carolina and 15 agents in South Carolina. That exceeded what we had anticipated. We had hoped for 10 in each state. And then those agents all went home, advertised their trainings, and roughly within 3 months, from January through March, they held 64 chainsaw safety trainings and trained 1,135 people. That vastly exceeded our expectations for three reasons. Probably the fact that we could do the public sector didn't hurt. The other issue was they had been working hard cutting a lot of wood for the past 3 months, and some of them had actually been hurt or had close calls, so they were interested. And also, I'm pretty sure in North Carolina and South Carolina, they didn't have access to safety training in such close physical proximity to their location. We evaluated the program on two levels. We evaluated the agent trainers with an online survey and the trainees with a paper evaluation that was used in all trainings. We had almost 1,000 of those to look at. All of the agents felt like they were adequately trained. 96% felt like they had the equipment they needed. 96% felt that the PowerPoint was useful, and they all felt that the materials were easy to use. So they had what they needed to do the training. The public and private sector really, it seemed to really hit the spot. Almost 100% of them felt that the training met their expectations, and almost 100% would recommend it to others. 87% said they learned something they did not know before the training, and they listed all aspects of the training. Everything in the course was ultimately listed. To the question of resilience, though, which was in the title, and this is an important question, did we create resilience? Because we know these aren't the last two hurricanes these areas are going to experience. And I think we probably did. And that's because 96% or 76% of the trainers actually received requests for training during the six-month period that this project ran. And 90% of the trainers anticipated training in the future. And one of the last evaluations I got from North Carolina was kind of sweet. There was a handwritten comment on the bottom, and it said, about the trainer, it said, "This guy is great. I hope we can get him next year." And you know something? They can, because he is their local county agent. So I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Across the United States, do you think this would be, I mean, maybe not to a hurricane response, but say a blizzard?
How scalable is this, is the question. It's completely scalable because OSHA, there are only two safety programs. There's federal OSHA and there's OSHA approved, mandated, and they all focus on the same rules and regulations, which are the ANSI standard 133. So this is totally scalable across the United States, and the contents of that course are applicable to any chainsaw user, homeowner, professional, whatever.
So is your contact information around so we can reach out to you for...
Oh, sure. Did you catch there's a website up here? And I'll give you my card. And, yes, there's definitely contact information. Any other questions? Thank you.